Hi, welcome to the New Business Show. I'm Nigel Main, the founder and managing director of Sales Exchange. It's great you're here with us as we're embarking on a very special journey and unpacking the problems associated with generating new business, many of which are actually inflicted on B2B organisations by poor marketers. The audio in this podcast is taken from one of our live streams, which you can watch on our website, and Facebook, or on YouTube. So, get ready for some serious revelations and some great ideas how you can change how you generate and attract new business. Well, that's it. End of the music. Welcome to the live stream. And here we are on our fifth live stream. You can see up here, the New Business Show. That's our new term, that's our new title for what we're doing. And over the next few months, we'll be expanding what we're talking about and delivering something that has not been done before, which is the best way to describe it really is live consultancy. And the point of that is that there's a great deal happening out in the business world. And in order to deliver and to achieve the levels of business that people need, they don't just want it, they need it, there has to be a different way of approach and something that's scalable. But that's what we're going to talk about now. We're just going to run the first intro. One of the problems, one of the fundamental problems in business has always been the generation of new business. And it's very difficult for anyone to look at their existing businesses, their existing organisations, to say, right, we're all fired up, let's go out and set the world alight. It's a big problem. And the reason it's such a big problem is that what are you going to do differently? We're going to come out of lockdown and to all intents and purposes, a lot of people are still going to be working from home and doing whatever they do. And there has to be some justifiable reasons to go back to what it was before, having had 12 months of people working from home. So how do you do it? How does one do it? How does one scale one's business? It's very difficult, especially B2B. And when you look at business to consumer, and the B2B market with the way that they operate, it's different. It's a different strategy. It's a different approach. And because of this, I mean, I've kind of done a slightly different way around than I expected to, but never mind. With B2C, people have expectations. And those expectations are imposed upon B2B. And the expectations are, we want something to go viral. We want something to be produced that will attract lots and lots of different people. It sounds great. It sounds ideal. But it doesn't happen in B2B. You, I will go and buy something because we want something. We either are going to look good in it, want to eat it, want to drive it, want to live in it, whatever it is. It's because it's a personal decision. That's an emotional personal decision. When it comes to business, these aren't emotional personal decisions. These are decisions based upon, is this going to drive my business forward? Is this going to make me money? How is this going to affect my whole business if I change or do something? It's a very, very considered purchase, which is why everyone jumps up and down about ABM. So the key thing here is what on earth can be done differently? And just to show or just to explain, I've been working in selling and running my own organization in technology and consultancy and marketing and new business development for 35 years. I know what I'm talking about. And I can, if you can see it here, I can hand on heart say that marketing is a failure for B2B. Has been for many, many, many years. Because, why do I know this? Because I've been doing it. Not because I've been a failure. I didn't realise, 15, 20 years ago, I was turning over 200,000 per person per annum. I didn't think anything of it then. I didn't know what I know now, what I then. But to realize that most businesses turn over 80 to 90 grand per person per annum now. And the reason I transitioned from selling technology to looking at the methods to sell and sell new products and more products, new business development, marketing, all that kind of thing, was because the methodology and the processes were so bad and so inconsistent. It had to be different. There had to be a better way of doing it. And so when I, you know, over the past number of years, you know, I've read loads of books, I've read hundreds of books, E-Myth, I got an E-Myth and thought, well, that'll be an interesting book, and realised, wait, I was doing this 10 years ago. I was looking to extract myself from my business so it could function effectively, you know, 10 years ago before I even read E-Myth. And so looking at the way businesses operate, I spoke to our accountants Tuesday. And I said that at the end of the day, one can buy accountants. You can buy HR people, you can buy tech, you can buy support, you can buy customer services. You can buy every single person that you need in a business, in an organization, but you can't buy a new deal. We're not talking brown envelopes, but you can't buy a new deal. So how do you do it? How do you scale it? And so people go, well, we'll use telesales, or we'll use some form of new business development strategy that involves lots of human resources. So what we've done, we've kind of brought all this together and said, well, if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always got. And the same goes for generating new business. So some of the statistics we've seen what companies are charging to do telesales, or what companies are paying salary-wise for BDRs, for business development reps, or new business development directors, whatever they want to call them, it's irrelevant. Because the activity that they're doing is one-to-one. A really kind of snapshot statistic. Say you pay someone $4,000 a month to do a BDR job. You give them Sales Navigator, you expect them to communicate and connect with a number of people. If they were going to call people, they could phone 350 people a week, give or take. 1,400 people a month. It cost you $4,000 a month to do that. So you can dial 1,400 people. That's it. And everybody knows, because of the 1,400 people, you'll ring them and they'll be in, but not available, gone to the loo, gone to lunch, not working at the office, working from home, but they'll never get put through anyway. And we touched on this last week. But the thing is when you look at scaling this and looking at what this show is about, it's a new business show, it's about explaining how you can scale what you're doing. You could pay $1,000 a month and reach 40,000 people every month. Most people in sales know that 1% of your market are looking at any one time. So over the course of a month, you could email 40,000 people and 400 of them may well be interested in what you're doing. You couldn't, if you had that many inquiries, you couldn't cope. Most people couldn't cope. But this is the transition. There has to be a transition. This isn't going to happen overnight for you. We've got it all set up. You may well have received an email from me. You may have received an email earlier today from me saying we're live in half an hour. How long did that take? I mean, apart from obviously the previous content that we produced and the graphics and so on, but to send it out to a select number of businesses that are local to me takes very little time at all. Certainly wouldn't warrant employing somebody full time to do that. I mean, I'm not liked by marketing people. I think B2B marketing has failed. I think marketing people don't know what they're doing. I know that managing directors are dissatisfied enormously with senior marketing people and marketing people in general, because they promise the earth and deliver nothing, which is why they keep getting fired every 18 months. And I'm going to keep talking about this every week because this is really, really serious. Now, there's a point to this, and there's a logical point, and it is institutionalized structure that is presented in the form of finance. So if you start from banking and you look at investment and banking and venture capital and accountants, and the thing is, people look to their accountants, and we have accountants watching us. People look to accountants as being the business sages, that they will give them all the advice they need. Why would an accountant know about marketing or new business development or selling? Why should they? They absolutely shouldn't. Their speciality and expertise is in doing the numbers. That's what we pay them for. But the point is that what's expected of you as a business owner are two rows. Right from when you first started your business, there were two rows on your P&L. And that said, one said sales and the other said marketing. Sometimes they're combined. It says sales and marketing. And the problem is that if marketing isn't working and it's hemorrhaging lots of cash, and salespeople can't get to see the people because they're not getting the leads, and now the odds are in the region of 385 connections before you find someone that's interested, then business, especially B2B, have got a really big problem, and it's not going away. And that's what this, why have a live show if it's that bad? Because it's not that bad. That's why we have live. By doing a live show and reaching out to people, you're able to communicate with 40,000 people every month. Assuming you had a 10,000 name database and you had 10,000 people that you could potentially sell to. But nevertheless, even if it was much smaller than that, it doesn't matter. It's focused. It's absolutely laser-targeted, focused on your vertical market. And you already know who you want to sell to and who you have sold to. So it's essential. It's essential businesses understand how they can scale their new business efforts. And up until now, this wasn't the done thing. I do a live show every week. Since when? Since when does someone do a live show every week for B2B? You hear about it on LinkedIn, or you might, maybe not so much on LinkedIn, but definitely YouTube. And you see, you know, the people doing things on various things on Facebook. But all those people that you sell to, every one of them has got, I'm looking at my phone here, every one of them has got a mobile phone. Everyone has got the ability to look at what you're doing in their pocket 24/7 pretty much. If you can think back to fax machines, the reluctance to buy a fax machine was because your customers or whoever didn't have one. Gradually, everybody had one. You know, get a fax machine for free at the petrol station. But when everybody had one, it wasn't a problem. And this kind of, it's not late in the game, but everybody's got the ability to watch video and live stream on their phones or tablets or laptops or whatever. So everybody's got the resources to consume your content, and your content can be produced at the click of a button in your office or a workstation. I have a workstation here in front of me with everything set up, and I come in and switch everything on and it all works and we go live. So it's really important for you to kind of start thinking, well, wait a second. If this bloke that I'm watching on the screen can reach 40,000 people every month with a click, and here we are, we're a 20, 50, 100, 250, 500 person company. And one person that we're watching on a screen has got more reach than we have, then there's a problem, per se. And the key thing is to say, so go and do it. I've got nothing to sell you. I don't manufacture microphones or lights, or mics, lights and cameras. I don't manufacture anything. All I can do is help fast track you get to that point. Because you can bet your bottom dollar that if you don't do it, your competition are going to do it. It's changing already. This is low cost subscription software available to anybody. And with a little bit of thought and creativity, bingo, they've got a live show. And that's what the issue is. That's what the problem is. So what I want to do, the point of today's show was about getting digitally prepared. Bear with me on this because I've got things under a speed dial button. And one of the points of this is that it's not just about go live. Every time you've ever watched ITV or Sky or anything for that, any TV program for that matter, you see the adverts. You just accept it. You listen to the radio, you hear the adverts. You just accept it. So why wouldn't somebody expect to see an advert watching you live? What I've got here, just some examples. I'll play them through. They're only 20, 30 seconds long, not very long. But just see, and I'll just explain the backgrounds of them for each one. So here's the first one, fingers crossed. So the point here, there's a logic in terms of people read, obviously. People like to read they like to read subtitles, but they also will read content and information on a screen. When that information starts moving, it's an instinct to watch it and to be engaged with it. By clicking on it and with there being some music and so on, that makes it memorable. So it's really important. And that kind of segues into this one. And you'll see what I mean again. Again, and the point of this is, as you're doing a live stream, as you're delivering whatever you're going to deliver, we'll be back after these messages. And you create your adverts. You're creating a show. You're creating something that you've been used to watching on television for decades. And it can be produced in your office. I mean, it is... Because we will help you do it, it is really straightforward, it's really simple, it doesn't take very long, and you use it for years. It exponentially increases your reach. And it's about giving people this reason, and this is the final one for today. So the point, It's about being creative in your business, and it's not about recruiting lots of people. And this is why a lot of marketing people don't like me. I tend to say, well, just sack them all, get rid of them all. They're no good. They're not serving you. They're just going through the motions, doing what everybody's ever done before, without increasing your reach, without moving the needle, without changing anything. For what? And I talked before about the whole thing to do with how content is structured. But before I get onto content, just for now, because I will reiterate it and just go over it again. But one of the things I wanted to show, and if you've been told about this, that's great. Let's just pop onto this screen. So the government have said, at the beginning of this month, they've said that they are going to increase capital allowances. As you can see, 2-year capital allowance, super deduction. So if you spend 30 grand, the reality is your net cost is about 22 grand, 22 and a half grand, something like that. So you spend 30, the effect it has, you save an additional seven something thousand. Happy days. And I think that's a really interesting thing when it comes to looking at this type of structure and what we're doing. And I think that the combination of that, the fact that this is going to be available for a couple of years, will be very interesting to a lot of businesses. Because if you're looking at spending, or if you do already spend, whatever it is for your business development reps and your people doing telesales or finding or doing the research to generate new business, you've got to weigh up the costs. You've got to weigh up the effectiveness. Because up until now, there wasn't really anything else. And that's the difference. Up until now, there wasn't anything else. So you have to weigh up and go, well, we've got this many people doing telesales. We've got this many people as BDRs. We've got all these people in marketing. So what are they doing? It's a genuine question for you to ask yourself and for your colleagues to talk about this, about how effective is actually, you know, is what we've got, and how much reliance is put on salespeople with their black books, with their previous relationships with other businesses. It's got to be... You can't really say, oh, I'm not listening. I'll just unsubscribe. Let's not watch this again because he's talking rubbish. My accountants, after the first time I told them what we're doing for people, he went, right, we're doing it. 2 months' time, we've got a space in the office. We're going to set up a studio. Great. That's great. Yeah, we can reach people. Yeah, amazing. But if I've convinced my accountant, and they're never the easiest people to convince, you have to think about what they're doing. And on the subject of what they're doing, and this really does play back into the point I made right at the beginning, which is live consultancy. The things that I say, you will not hear anywhere else. You certainly won't hear someone, if we were talking about consultancy, I would be saying fire them. Yeah, get rid of your marketing team, get rid of your telesales team, implement this and halve your sales team. There you go, I've just made your company profitable in one sentence. Oh, and we'll ensure that you get more exposure to more of your perfect target market than you've ever done before. Nobody has ever said that to you, ever. And like I said, I've been doing this for 35 years. I've seen and listened to and spoken to and heard the drivel from so many people that go, oh, I'll make it all happen for you. Nonsense. The only way you can make it happen is scalability. If you cannot scale your business efforts, you're just going to keep ticking over with whatever you did before. Probably less because of the state of the way that the world has taken itself down this lockdown scenario. So when it comes to, you know, this part of the consultancy, we've got, just to let you know, we've got a new format that's going to be presented in a few weeks' time. And it's all about different creating different sections. This is fine. This is a headshot. And we've got some templates and overlays and all this kind of stuff. That's all fine. But we're taking this down to a more formal approach. That will include presentation of equipment and showing what's new and helping people understand how to drive and move this whole live business-to-business live streaming thing along. But coming back to where we are now, looking at your tech, looking at your content and what you have at the moment, you have articles and you have white papers and downloads, you have videos and podcasts and so on. The way that your content is structured or is not structured is the reason that you don't figure very highly on SEO. I don't advocate SEO. It's a mug's game for B2B, as far as I'm concerned. Great for B2C, but for B2B, when you have a consultative sell, if you have a large ticket sale, If what you do requires information, advice and direction and helping customers go down a certain path and building something for them, they don't know that they need you. And if they don't know that they need you, what are they going to search for? So that's a fundamental problem. So here we are. We've got this this understanding, and it's essential, not just for now, and forget about it when you do live streaming. It's period. Start with an article. I've got a screen here. It should come up. It should look okay. Now, this screen here, this is a typical page. And you can get access to this on our website. It's under an SEO article that we wrote. But your article needs to have a certain title that appears at the... at the top, when you look at your web browser, you can see it across the top. Your article's got to have H1, H2, 3, 4, 5, bullets, numbers, embedded video, images, and so on. And be approximately 2,000 to 6,000 words long. And a lot of people think, oh, that's long. Have a look at the length of articles that you've got on your blog. Lots of businesses perceive and believe that writing a blog is good enough. Put a pretty picture on there, job done. 3-4 paragraphs should be okay. Get all the staff to write 3 or 4 paragraphs. Oh, we've got loads of content on our website. Yet none of it gets referenced on Google because it's not written for a 12-year-old. It doesn't present you as being an authority. And because of the information and structure of it, the voice search engines can't see it, and the search engines don't know what category your article should be under. And you can only do that through using something called structured data. Now, in addition to that, if you have... obviously, you have your sitemap and the information is submitted to Google on a regular basis. And Google can reference your sitemap and know where all of your content is because you've given it a path and there's no dead end pages, 404 pages, all this kind of stuff. The point is that in order for you to appear on page one of Google organically, you've got to have a decent document. But if the documents and every document that you're producing is being hidden behind an email form to allow somebody access to it, not even Google can see it, let alone your customers. So the first part is to free up all your documentation, but then to review it. You must review your documentation to expand on it. For example, there are professional bloggers. You think, what's a professional blogger? Before, a blogger would be someone that did a personal log. You know, that's all it was. But professional bloggers will go, all right, okay, what's trending at the moment? How about, I don't know, motocross bikes for kids? You think, well, what's that got to do with what we're talking about now? There are people that say, right, we're going to write an article about motocross for kids. We'll put the helmets in there, we'll put the protective gear in there, the bikes, the repairing, the maintenance, the trailers, everything. And then you realise that people are actually looking for this stuff because they've done their keyword research. They're looking for this stuff. And they go, oh, great, we've had 100,000 people look at that this week, this month. Because they monetize it and get paid by Google for the adverts that appear on the page. I.e. a professional blogger. They'll write about anything. And if they have a certain subject that they're passionate about, well, lucky days, happy for them. But the reality is, that's what people are doing, but not in B2B. It's the most scant information provided, which means you never get to appear on page one. And there are certain market, if you look at marketing businesses, oh, they're oh so clever. Yeah, they know, they put their content up there. They put long form information. They create articles that have got bullet numbers, like the top of this article here. What we've got at the top here is, I'll stop here, there we go, just down here, contents. So we can go to how to do SEO for the administrator. Click on it, brings you straight down. Oh, great, okay, like that. And so the whole point of this is saying that you have to know the necessary structure before you embark on saying, well, let's go and do SEO. You know, how many SEO people have you ever met? And you said to them, okay, that's great. It's lovely to hear what you're going to do. How good are you at copywriting? And let me see some of the content that you've written in the past. You go, oh, no, we just do keywords. We'll tweak this and tweak that. So if you want to be seen as an authority, you've got to write the content. You've got to present the content. But people are never going to know that you're an authority if you've hidden all your content behind an email form and invested however many thousands per quarter in marketing automation platforms. So the figure I mentioned for one person of $4,000 a month as a BDR, that excludes your marketing automation costs and all your marketing people, everything else. So one live stream strategy trumps everything and everyone. So you can see that there's some serious logic required even right now. Before you move on to this, yes, I'd love you to contact me and say, oh, Nigel, we'd like you to go and do, you know, look at this and how do we set this up and so on. But the reality is there's a transition from understanding that you had sales and marketing on your P&L, and that needs to change. That awareness, that expectation, that's got to change. You must have scalability, otherwise your business will fail. And that's why so many businesses do fail, because it's a one-to-one effort, in a way, of looking to generate new business. The same thing applies, and it still comes back to being digitally ready. You've got to understand the mechanism and infrastructure of what you've already got before you embark on doing the live streaming. Because you go, right, well, we now know what we're going to talk about. Look at all these articles that we've got that have got next to no traffic. Let's use those headlines and talk about that in our live shows. Let's get somebody from sales who's very confident and gregarious and outgoing and whatever, and can talk hind legs off a donkey. Not that I can't. But someone that's confident in front of a camera, get them to do the presenting. You don't need more staff. You walk in front of the kit, switch it on, click go live, and here you are. So that moves on to the video side. Video's the same. If you have a video, and not many businesses have lots of video, but those that do rarely have a full transcript on the same page as the video and have embedded the transcription information. It's called an SRT file that's used for closed captions and subtitles, and embedded that in the metadata within their website. And the reason it goes in the metadata is that the voice search engines, if you said, oh, hey, Google, present, you know, give me a list of companies that have got videos on X. Well, the only thing they can do with most of them is just give you the title. But if you've got the description and you've got a transcript of all your text, Google knows what you said within your video. So now you've got a video and you've got the transcript. The other week, I might have mentioned this last week, but 2 weeks ago, there were four of us. We had an hour's conversation, just over an hour, and it produced 17 pages of written text for transcript. So Google references that, sees that, and goes, well, they're an authority on talking about live streaming. So the point here is that you can look at your written content. If you do have video, get it transcribed and get all the information on there. And then from that, the audio from the video goes into a podcast. The audio from I wouldn't put this particular conversation on a podcast. But I will, and I do, when there's two of us. You may have seen this before. If there's two people, there'll be two people, three people, and four. So I'm doing this myself. This is not complicated because this is what we'll set up for you. So that's kind of drawing towards the end of this, that the point is, look at your content, see what you've got, see how it's been structured to get a sense of a kind of context in a way. Look at our website. Have a look at our website and see what we've done. See what we've set up. See the breadth of content that we've got and the variety of content that we've got. And that's something that, as you're getting digitally ready, you're able to, from somebody watching you live, to say, go and have a look at our website. Look at the content on our website. If you were selling software, you would have videos about how to use the software, videos about who the software is for, how it's used, videos about how you operate, how you support, how you sell, how you answer queries, how you deal with FAQs, how you do, you know, the fact you've got online chat or you haven't got, you're with me, that you're contactable and accessible. That's what people need to know. We as people involved in selling know that 80% of the research is done by a prospect, is done digitally before they'll even speak to you. And this whole live stream thing is all part and parcel of communicating what we've got digitally for people to sit back and think and go and have a look and check us out and see what they think, ask any questions. Even now, you can put I should have done this earlier, but I've got a message here. I'm sure it's a chap called Dean. I'm going to pop this up on here. What got us here won't get us there. Really strong points in this video, which are difficult to argue. Thanks, Dean. You can see, so the point of this, I know it's, I'm sure we would have said that earlier. Maybe I should have put that at the beginning. But you can see what this is about. This is live. This is happening now. And so the point is what are you going to do? What are you going to do for the future? What are you going to do to change the scalability of your business? And that's what all this is about. And like, you know, just finishing off what I was saying, people need to look at you. People need to evaluate you from a distance. I popped that information up there from Dean, but we can also put hashtag anonymous. and just mess it. And I won't read it out. I'll read it out, but I won't say the name. People can message me and ask me questions like they could do with you if you were doing it. People want that anonymity because they don't want to get pestered by salespeople or BDRs. So it's a very unusual type of business to be in. It's essential. We want our salespeople absolutely crushing it, but they can't because they can't make contact. And so if 80% of the research is done anonymously before they'll even talk to you, if you haven't got your content visible and accessible and varied, your competition has. It's as simple as that. And I've said this and shown this before. Let me just lean over. I could go live with that. I could. I wouldn't. But, you know, it's got live on there. You tap live, you go live. I'm going live. And you're talking to your phone and you've gone live. It's not about money. I mean, but I'm making a supposition here that you wouldn't want to be doing it on your iPhone. You'd have it set up so people can be trained, they know how to deliver, how this can be presented professionally and with the least amount of effort on your part. Because we basically set everything up from start to finish. So something to think about, I hope, that your cost-wise, you've got for one person, £4,000 a month upwards, of £4,000 a month. For one person to make 1,400 dials or potential connections versus about a grand a month and 40,000 connections. That includes a database, by the way. That includes subscription for the software, includes subscription to pay for MailChimp. So you can lose your marketing automation platform. Now, you've got to be really, really confident. Anybody's got to be confident to go, just get rid of it. It's no point. B2B, B2C, yes. But for B2B organisations, nah, get rid of it. Keep Salesforce, keep Dynamics, because that's useful. But you don't need marketing automation platform. Not for this. Oh, and by the way, it's infinitely more successful and has more reach and more scalability at infinitely less cost. It's just jaw-dropping. And this is what people have wanted for a very, very, very long time. But just it's kind of the confluence, the convergence of all these different things that make it available, make it accessible, very accessible now. So with all of this, I'm going to finish up now. But one of the key things about this, now, we've talked about articles and video and white papers and so on. There's a white paper on our website. I should have done an advert for it. There's a white paper on our advert on our website under white papers. And we talk about how businesses need to be structured for the future. If this was just yapping about going live, well, okay, you can do that. But there's got to be a longer term approach to this. There's got to be more to it. And there is. Having spent 35 years in business, my goal has always been I do not want to cold call or knock on doors because it is an absolute waste of time. So how do I scale what I do? Yes, I could have gone and sold jumbo jets. But I knew this was probably, to me, was the single most important aspect of being in business was to how to scale it to generate new business. You've got all these clever marketers, even clever finance people. Doesn't matter. You've got all these smart alecs who know it all. They got the gift of the gab and everything else, but go, okay, yeah, I'll accept everything you've just said to me. Go and scale my business and do it really cheap. Not one of them has ever, ever, ever come up with a solution. Never. Except for you to hemorrhage loads of cash. And we know that the average turnover per person per annum is 90 to 100 grand, up to about a million. When you're over 5 million, it's about 160, give or take. Yeah, not very much. Which is why everyone's got a problem financially. And this is the single most effective, amazing, effective way of doing this. And I've got no kit to sell. So that's why this is a personal cause, is to say, this is what can be done. Go and do it. You want to do it quickly? Call us. We'll do it. We'll set it up. Make it happen. Everything, start to finish. And train you how to keep doing it. And we'll hold your hand through the whole process with the first few shows that you do. And we're there locally or however you want to do it. But we'll set it up for you, start to finish. But the key thing is, where to next? And that's next week. In next week's episode is an illustration of exactly how the institutionalized structure of a business needs to change and how we recommend that it does change, that keeps you as a business owner, I say in charge, it's not being in charge, but it's hanging on to the intellect of individuals so you don't lose that information that they've got up here when they leave, especially when it comes to the generation of new business. So it's a shift in the pillars that support new business. And we're going to talk about that next week. So anyway, that's it from me today. I hope you enjoyed this. If you're watching it on catch up, great. I look forward to seeing you live one day. But that's it for now, and I'll see you next week, and we'll talk about the three pillars of new business. So bye for now.